Thank you very much. God bless you. Titus chapter 3 tonight. Titus chapter number 3. We are coming, God willing, to the end of a book study. And it's an exciting time for me. At the same time, it's kind of a sad time for me as we travel through a book together. And we've come to the last few verses of this book here in the book of Titus. And we're asking God to help us as we come to a close in this book tonight. Titus chapter 3, verse number 8. We've preached all the way down through verse 7, so we pick up our study in verse number 8. The Word of God says, "This is a faithful saying. These things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted," that means perverted, "and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or to Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, and nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be unfruitful, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen." I know what you're wondering. What in the world did he just say, right? If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark four words in verse number 8. It's the four words. They're not all together here now, so look at it. "These things," a little bit later, "affirm constantly." These things affirm constantly. Let's pray together. Father, we love you, and I pray that you help us to be faithful to your word. Help us to be obedient to you, to trust you, to believe you. And as we preach your word tonight, would you speak to our hearts? Make this clear, make it understandable, and may your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Throughout this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Titus, he's been pouring his heart out to Titus. There's no doubt about that. He has given him many instructions to teach others, some of which would be difficult to follow and even difficult to swallow. However, he gave the motive. This is the last time we were in this book together. He gave the motive for obeying all these instructions. And that motive is what the Lord God of heaven had done for them in saving their souls and giving them an eternal hope. In other words, all the way down through verse number 7 of chapter 3, the last time we studied here, we picked up our study in verses 3 through 7, and we studied the motive for obeying God. The fact of the matter is this, just as reminder here tonight, when we truly understand what God has done for us, when we truly get it, that He saved us, He delivered us, He saved our hell-deserving souls, then even the hard things He asks us to do becomes easy. I'm not saying it's easy to obey, but as far as whether you're going to obey or not is an easy decision once you understand what He's done for us. In other words, when we see what He's done, our attitude should be, I don't care what He asks me to do. My answer is yes. That's what He's doing all the way down through verse number 7. Now, in the concluding part of this letter that He's writing, He turns His attention to this closing admonition. And in verse number 8, He tells Titus that what he was saying is a faithful thing. It's a true. It can be trusted. And then He said, there are some things, Titus, that you need to constantly affirm. Affirm these things constantly. You know what the word affirm means? It means to declare these things earnestly, to declare them solemnly. It means to affirm it positively. In other words, these are things that Titus was to boldly proclaim and hold nothing back. One preacher put it well, and he said it this way. He said, we should explode with the truth of the gospel. We are to express God's truth with all our energy and all our heart wherever we are. We are enthusiastic about so many things. And we need to give that same natural enthusiasm to the teaching and sharing of the Word of God. This is what Paul is telling Titus. He's saying, Titus, I'm closing this letter out, but let me give you some final things And these things you need to blow like a trumpet. You need to exclaim these things. Don't be ashamed. Be bold and share these things constantly with the churches. Remind them over and over and over and over. Constantly affirm these things. Be enthusiastic about it. Be excited about telling them these things. Now, what are these things? Practical things. Things we need to understand, we need to hear, need to apply. There's four of them right here in these closing verses. These things affirm constantly. What are they? Number one, the first thing to boldly proclaim, to affirm constantly, first of all, is that God's children should maintain good works. We see this in verse 8. Now notice it now. It says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. And he starts listing them. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Notice he's talking to God's children. And notice the word careful here. It says that those that believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. You know what it means? It means to put your mind to it. It means to be anxious about it. If you're anxious, it's like this. Hey, are we going now? Are we going now? Are we going now? That's what this word careful means. It means that when it comes to doing good works, good things, God's children should be anxious about that. You mean I get to serve God? You mean I get to do something good? That's what he's saying. Affirm this constantly, that God's children maintain good works, that they never stop doing what's right. This is what he's saying. The word maintain means to practice. It means to stand before them. The idea here is God's children ought to always be about good works. There's never a time when it's right to stop doing good. We're to constantly stand before good works. In other words, if you could literally pile good works up, here they are, good things, the things that God says are profitable, things that God says these are good things, this is what I want to give your life to. If you could pile all them up, this word maintain means that God's children should be standing right at it, standing before it. One preacher illustrated this, talking about standing before it. He illustrated it this way. He said, in many foreign countries, merchants stand in front of their stores and try to persuade customers to come inside and buy merchandise. That is what this word means. It means if you're saved, you should be showing it to the world to show them the difference God's made in your life. That's what it means. It means that we should constantly be doing good, constantly standing before good works to encourage others to see the difference God's made, God has made in our life, and hopefully encourage them to allow Him to do the same in theirs. It's been said, whatever happened to old so-and-so, whatever happened to old what's-his-name, oh, they're around somewhere. They're still breathing. What are they doing? Nothing. They're retired. This preacher goes on to say, you can retire, yet you cannot retire from the Lord's work. Said you can retire from General Motors, you can retire from Ford, you can retire from Chrysler, but you cannot retire from the Lord's work. You are still breathing, and as long as you're still breathing, you can be serving, you can be doing something. There is room for everyone in the service of the Lord. The first thing that Paul is telling Titus here is he's saying, I want you to lift your voice like a trumpet, Titus. I want you to affirm these things constantly. I want you to be enthusiastic about this. Here's the first thing you need to constantly remind God's church, that if you are saved, just keep doing right. Don't ever stop. Don't ever quit. Just keep going. This is what he's saying. Be faithful to God. Don't throw in the towel. Don't throw it in. May I say this to you? Everybody in their life, sometime along the way, if you live long enough in the Christian life, you're going to be tempted to take the towel and throw it in and quit. You say, how do you know that? Because I'm a psychic. No, I'm kidding with you. I know that because that's just the way it is. It's the way it is. Some of you here tonight, hey, and if it's you, don't act like I I mean, don't think I know about it. You understand? But no doubt in a crowd this size, somebody's discouraged, somebody's down and out, somebody feels like quitting. What's the use? Everything else. Here's the use. God has saved your soul. God has changed your life. And if you're breathing, He's not done with you. And He's telling you, He's telling a preacher, Titus, that would be a picture of me tonight. He says, tell the church to maintain good works. Just keep going. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. That's the first thing. The Bible says in Galatians 6, 9 and 10, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not. That's number one. Number two, ask God to give you understanding here. I'm going to do my best to explain it, but ask God to give you understanding. Number one, these things affirm constantly what? That God's children should maintain good works. Number two, that God's children should avoid unprofitable and vain things. You see this in verse 9. Notice this. The Bible says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. In other words, the foolish questions, the genealogies, and the contentions and strivings about the law, they are unprofitable and they are vain. Now let me explain this. You know what the word avoid means? It says avoid foolish questions, avoid genealogies, avoid contentions and strivings of the law. That word avoid means keep away from it, shun it, stay away from it. Now get this, Titus was to tell these people that there are some things to avoid. And those things were foolish questions, genealogies, contentions and strivings about the law. Now let's separate these. What is that? You know what the word foolish means? Here's the Greek word, moros. Does it sound familiar? Moros. It's where we get our word moron. It is. When you look up the word foolish, you know what it means? It means something that's absurd. Something, excuse me, look it up. Something that's stupid. You ever been around somebody that you're trying to deal with their soul and they just ask these off-the-wall questions? They don't want anything to do with the gospel and they just try to trip you up and ask all these absurd questions. God says, get away from them. Get away. It's useless. It's unprofitable. It's vain. By the way, most of the time you can tell if somebody you're talking to is searching or trying to tell you off. And if they're trying to put you in your place, that you're wrong, they're right, nothing's going to change their mind, and they ask all these foolish questions, the Word of God says this, don't waste your time. Amen tonight, friends. I'm going to tell you something. The devil is a master at causing God's children to get sidetracked. Sidetracked. Let me tell you what the devil will do every now and then. There'll be somebody in that apartment complex who's searching for the truth. But the devil will cause you, excuse me, to knock on a door with somebody that all he's trying to do is keep you away from that other door. That's all he's trying to do. And if he can get you mixed up with all this kind, trying to argue, contentions and strivings, just trying to argue a point, prove your point, that person right there may say yes to the gospel, while this one never will, because he's foolish. Does this make sense what I'm saying? God has to give us wisdom in this. God has to give us wisdom to know when to stay and talk if somebody's searching, or when to shut the conversation off and go on. Now, this is something he's teaching him here. Genealogies was the tracing of their ancestry, which a lot of times the Jewish people would put a lot of stock in that. Strivings and contentions of the law has to do with putting the wrong emphasis on the law. Well, no, you've got to do this. Well, no, you've got to do that. No, it's not just that. It's this too. Yeah, I mean, listen, you've got to do this. Now, stay with me here. The point in this is we are on a mission and should not allow things to sidetrack us from our mission to get the gospel around the world. There are those who will ask absurd, foolish questions only to argue. Now, that's a key point, friends. Only to argue. Not searching. There are people who will ask genuine questions and they are searching. They are wanting to know the truth. At that time, you're not wasting time. Take the time to spend time with them and share the gospel and give them a challenge and talk to them about the gospel and try to win them to Christ. But God will give you a discerning spirit to realize this person is really searching, or this person is just trying to argue with me. He's just trying to debate me. That's all he's trying to do. Are you listening? Time is too precious to argue with somebody who does not want to have anything to do with what you have to say anyway. Now, it's important to learn this principle. Don't let anything sidetrack you. There are those who will ask absurd questions, try to argue and debate with you to the point that it's nothing but unprofitable and vain, which means useless and empty. One commentator put it well when he said that disputes about matters which only serve to beget strife and contention. Notice he says in verse number 9, and contentions and strivings. In other words, fighting. It's just contentious. It's not peaceful. It's just an arrogant spirit. Just fighting. Just, hey, I want to fight you. Listen, I don't care what you think's right. I'm gonna tell you what you need to believe. You'll meet people like that occasionally, if you're out long enough. And if you do, God's going to have to give you peace whether you keep the conversation going or whether you shut it down and move on. Sometimes it's the will of God to avoid people. Amen, friends. This is what he's teaching Titus. It says, disputes about matters which only serve to beget strife and contention and tend little to our edification in faith and holiness, are vain talk and unprofitable disputes, to be declined and avoided by all wise and serious Christians. One man said the biggest waste of time is to argue about religion. I say amen about that. The biggest waste of time is to argue about religion. And this preacher goes on to say it's almost as useless as arguing about politics. It won't do any good. You can win an argument and lose a soul. You don't win souls by argument. Oliver Green said, if the devil cannot make a liberal or a modernist of a preacher, he does not give up. He attempts to silence the effectiveness of his ministry by detouring him around the heart of the gospel and seeks to steer him down a blind alley of disputation, tradition, dogma, man-made doctrine, or fables. That man of God had God's hand on him, because he's saying exactly what this verse is teaching. If it's unprofitable, if it's vain, if it's empty, if it's contentious, if it's causing strife, get away from it. Does that make sense? Yes? If it doesn't, I'm going to start all over again. Does that make sense? Sure it does. 1 Timothy 1:4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. 2 Timothy 2:23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. That's all it is. Here's the point, number two, don't spend precious time on useless, empty things. Time is too precious to waste. It's too precious. Ask God to give you wisdom. When to avoid and when to keep going. God will help you with that. He will. You know, it's amazing, just out on visitation, how sometimes you'll run into folks who disagree with you, and sometimes it's obvious this is useless, and we move on. Last night we ran into a young man, had a great conversation with him. He doesn't believe like we believe, but I really believe the young man's searching. I do. He had respect for us. He had questions for us, but it wasn't endless questions. It wasn't useless questions. He's searching. So you know what we did? We spent maybe 20 minutes with him, maybe 30 minutes with him, trying to steer him and trying to talk to him about the gospel. He accepted the challenge to read the gospel of John. I'm praying for him. We didn't cut him off and avoid him, because it wasn't gendering strife. It wasn't contentious. It wasn't profitless. It wasn't unprofitable or vain. It was something that through that, it can turn into something good. But occasionally you're going to meet somebody, all they want to do is argue. All they want to do is debate. All they want to do is tell you how you're wrong. and it's not open. It's just gendering strife. They're trying to jab you. You know what I'm talking about. God says, stay away from people like that. That's what God says. Number three. Not only God's children are to maintain good works and avoid unprofitable and vain things, but number three, constantly affirm this to Titus, that we are to reject heretics. Now what is that? It's in verses 10 and 11. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted, sinneth, being condemned of himself. Now, a heretic is one who divides. It means a schismatic. That's what it means. It means one who causes division. All he's trying to do is come in. Now, keep in mind, he's talking to the local church, okay? He's talking to the churches. And he's saying if the church ever has anybody in it that doesn't believe right and all they're trying to do is divide, rip it apart over here and rip it apart over here, the Word of God calls that person a heretic. That's what he calls him. Now, it's been said that heresy literally means choosing one's own ideas. Not God's Word, but what I think. This is what I think. I don't care what the Bible says. This is what I believe. That's a heretic. And sometimes, though, now by the way, every local church eventually has somebody come into it that has their own ideas. People who are visiting, they don't know the Lord. They have a thought about salvation. You know, they have to be baptized. Or I'm not calling people who think you have to be a heretic. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying people come in all the time to churches that believe their own ideas. They have faith in themselves. The Word of God says this, if a heretic does not change after the first and second admonition, reject him. What's that mean? That means this. Give him a chance to repent. Go to him. Show him where he's wrong. And hopefully he repents. This is in the local church, friends, okay? In the local church. If he doesn't, go back to him again. This is the second admonition. You admonish him. You challenge him. You try to get him to repent. If he doesn't, after the second, causing division, get him out. Let me tell you what I'm learning. The local church means a whole lot to Jesus Christ. And he'll do anything that is possible. He wants purity in this local church. He doesn't want anybody in this local church spreading heresy. Heresy. It's not just Jesus Christ. It's Jesus plus. It's Jesus minus. If anybody is like that in this church, they are a heretic. They have their own thoughts about it. And if it ever comes to our mind, we rebuke them. That's not right. This is it. But if they ever try to teach their doctrine, they try to, hey, come over here. Let me share something with you. You listening to me? You admonish them once. You admonish them twice. If they don't do it, we vote them out of this place. Amen. Are you listening to me? That's not ugly. That's Bible. That's the Word of God. God says, I want my church holy. Oliver Green put it this way, give him an opportunity to repent and abandon his heresy. Jesus came not in the world to condemn the world, but to save sinners. It's not the will of God that any perish, but that all repent, including them. Therefore, all men under all circumstances should be given an opportunity to repent. And then after the first and second admonition, if the heretic refuses to repent, he's to be turned out of the church. A spiritually minded pastor will not put up with heresy in the local assembly. Therefore, any person who attempts to divide the church or cause strife among brethren should be separated from the church. The point is, heresy cannot be tolerated in the local church. It cannot be tolerated. The command to reject false teaching like this shows how seriously Paul treated dissension in the church. These folks who persisted in their own ideas and just kept trying to cause division in the local church, they've turned away from the truth, the Bible says, and they've condemned themselves. That means they know what's right, but they just keep doing wrong anyway. If you have somebody like that willfully persisting down a path of destruction, they should not be allowed to spread their lies inside the local church. they should be kicked out. That's Bible, friends. That's what the Word of God is teaching. Romans 16, 17, and 18 says this, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." If we ever have a heretic at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, somebody who believes it's not only Jesus, it's Jesus plus something else, it's Jesus minus something else. If you ever have a heretic in this local church, and we know about it, and they are spreading their lies. Now, if they come because they're searching, they want to know the truth, let them come and listen. Let the Word of God speak to them. But once they say, "I don't agree with that." No, I'm going to tell you something. That pastor's wrong. It's not just that. Are you listening to me? You find out about it, you approach them, and you give them an opportunity to repent. If they don't, do it again. God's a gracious God, merciful God. But God says, after the second time, I'm done. If they refuse to repent after the second time, reject them. Now that's what the Word of God is teaching. You start to see the gospel means a whole lot to the Lord God of heaven. He wants nobody tampering with it, especially inside the local church. Isn't it interesting that Paul ends his letter along these lines? Isn't that interesting? Isn't that nice of Paul to end the letter this way? Reject a heretic. Avoid unprofitable, empty discussions. And he's saying, Titus, these are things you need to constantly affirm to the church. Constantly do it. Then in closing tonight, number four, constantly affirm that God's people should support God's servants. This is found in verses 12, 13, and 14. You can read that if you'd like to do that. But Paul tells Titus in these verses, he's sending Artemas or Tychicus to him. And when they get there, Titus was to come unto him in Nicopolis. He then told Titus to bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently. And notice that, bring them on their journey diligently. You know what that word means? You know what that phrase means? It means this, escort them and aid them in their travel. Help them along the way. Now get this, these men who were traveling through Crete were apparently on a missionary tour. And they were to have their needs met. When you read these verses, it's what it means. They were to have their needs met by the churches there in Crete. One man said, Paul was concerned that their physical needs be met by the Christians in Crete. Paul was alerting them to the great opportunity to minister to two men who were indeed God's servants and worthy of their financial help. May I put it this way? It's a blessing to support missionaries. It's a privilege to support missionaries. And those who are on missionary journeys, those who are serving God, those who are God's true servants, they are preaching the gospel what it is. It is a privilege of the local churches to provide all they need to get the work done. 1 Timothy 5:18 says, "For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward." One man put it this way, we should provide for the ones who minister to us graciously and joyfully. God has ministered to us through others. Now we have many opportunities to provide for their needs, and we're to do it gladly from our hearts. We're not to force them to be beggars. It's our privilege to provide for their needs. When you read these verses, it's Paul telling Titus, you tell the church that there's some missionaries coming through Crete. And when they get there, bring them on their journey. Meet their needs. Escort them through. Provide what they need. Then he goes on in verse number 14 and kind of drives the nail here. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. It's as if he's telling the churches, It is a privilege to be able to provide the necessary needs of God's servants. You know, it's an honor. Like when we have missionaries coming through and so on, we had one here in our services all day Sunday. We gave him a love offering. We do that often with preachers that come through, God's people that come through, missionaries that come through. I'll tell Brother Bird, I'll tell him, hey, let's give him $200. Let's give him $250. Let's give him $150. And after church, we'll hand it to him and say, hey, we just want to be a blessing to you. I believe God's in that. I believe God's pleased with that. This is what Paul is teaching. When these servants come through your city, help them. Meet their needs. Take care of them. Now, Titus was given the admonition to constantly affirm these four things. And let us all be faithful to affirm the same four things. By the way, let me say this to you. Be patient with people. Be very careful to call somebody a heretic. Be very careful. Be very careful to pass judgment on them before God passes judgment on them. Because may I say something to you? It's not a potential heretic. It is a heretic that the Word of God is speaking about. Some people that we call heretics are not. We just try to make them sound that bad so it eases our own conscience for how we've been treating them. This is a heretic. And God says, I'm going to give him two chances to get it right. Now that's the God we serve right there. Go to him twice. And if he doesn't do it, I cannot let him cause dissension in the local church. Reject him. That doesn't mean God's rejected him. The church can reject him so he doesn't spread his lies, but the Holy Spirit of God can prick his heart and still save that man's soul. Let's let God lead in this, but let's be obedient to these admonitions. Paul concludes his letter by telling Titus to greet all them who love them in the faith. Then he ends the book by saying, grace be with you all. Amen. Interesting that this book begins with grace. And it also ends with grace. And as we come to a close in this gospel, this book of Titus here, this last of the pastoral epistles, it's been a book that's practical, sometimes hard to swallow. But in all of it, let us remember that he is worthy who's commanded us to do these things. And if he says reject them, we need to reject them. If he says be merciful to them, we need to be merciful to them. Let's just obey the Lord. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. I pray you help us now. Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed. I want to ask you some questions tonight. First of all, I try to always start here. Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? Do you know that you're born again? Do you know that you're saved, that you're on your way to heaven? If not, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. But I want to tonight, let's just work down through these four major thoughts that were brought out in these closing verses of this book. And how the Apostle Paul is telling Titus, these things I want you to constantly affirm. These things I want you to constantly be enthusiastic about it and tell the church about it. The first one was, you tell God's people that they ought to be standing before good works all the time. You tell them not to quit, not to be unfaithful, but to keep on going. I ask you a question, is that you? Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you because there's somebody that all they've been doing is just trying to stir you up. All they've been doing is just trying to trip you up and prove you wrong. Their attitude's arrogant and they're not really searching for truth, but all they're trying to do is cause you strife and contention and try to get you riled and get you fighting mad and everything else. Maybe God's whispering to you, say, you know, you just need to avoid that from now on. Anytime they want to hear the gospel, give it to them. But if all they're trying to do is cause fightings, then I just avoid it. Or maybe God's speaking to you about a heretic, somebody that believes that there's another way of salvation, and they refuse to change their heart and their mind. Maybe God's speaking to you about go to them and plead with them. That's really the emphasis. Go to them once. Go to them twice. pray that they get right. But eventually there may come a time, especially in the local church, that if there's a heretic in this local church who's spreading false truth, once they are approached and they do not change, they need to be rejected. God forbid that in this local church, but we need to be ready for that. Need to be ready for it. By the way, you all help with that. More than likely, if there's a heretic at Buffalo Ridge, the congregation will know it before the pastor does. Because more than likely, he will not or she will not come to the pastor, but they will try to spread their lies among the people, you see. So if you ever have somebody come to you trying to add to the Word of God, you need to pinpoint them. You need to come to the pastor and say, we've got somebody we need to deal with. Here's what they're teaching. Here's what they're saying. And then we will go and try to help them and try to get them to repent. But if they don't, eventually they'll be rejected. Well, maybe God's speaking to you tonight about supporting God's servants. Just being more gracious with your billfold or with your house or with providing food. When God's servants come passing through our city, may this church be careful to escort them on their way to meet their needs. Father, take these thoughts and use them, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. She's going to begin to play through softly. If God is speaking to you, would you come? There may be somebody here that just needs to leave somebody at the altar tonight, somebody that's just been gendering strifes in your life. Maybe you just need to come and say, God, if I need to avoid them, would you give me peace with that and I'll do it? Whatever it is, whatever it is. We'll call on Brother Gary to come and do the missionary letters, and then Brother Marty, you'll come right after him, okay?
Take out your missionary prayer, or your prayer list tonight. Start with the Blance family. They are relatively new missionaries in Nicaragua, and they're really just getting settled in. They're learning the language. They have a public school ministry, building a church. So in general, just pray God would continue to help them to get adjusted to the field. The church, they said, is doing better now. Things, I think, were a little rough at the beginning, but things are moving ahead. Polly Irvin is working in Ukraine, a single lady missionary, and just mentioned some things they've been doing with ladies' banquets and summer Bible clubs. The main prayer request for her is her health. She has trouble with her heart, diabetes, and thyroid problems, so multiple problems. So be praying for Polly Irvin. And then finally, for the Altizers in the Windows of Heaven's ministry, they are wanting to do some work in St. Lucia. They've been working, actually, helping a pastor in West Virginia from the flooding, and also planning a trip to Honduras. And this is a helps ministry. If you're not familiar with this, basically they go around, try to find ministries that need help, whether it's building or a well or whatever might be done, and pastor's encouragement, and they just try to go and minister to them. So Brother Buddy's been on several trips with him, and I think planning to go on several more. So that's Brother Guy Altizer in the Windows of Heaven ministry.